It's 9:05 at Q92 Radio. Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning and welcome to the Lacaparo Valley Coaches Show. Dick Newman with the report again this morning, and Paul Ramo at his usual position at the control panel. Going to be wrapping up some of the fall activities this week and next week with some head coaches and JV junior high coaches, and start things off with some area football scores last night. Of course, the game you heard live here on Q92, Minneota avenged another loss during the season, defeating Lakeview 28-6. And Minneota fans will be happy to hear that Mayor Lutheran, that beat them in the championship game last year, got ousted out of a player by a neighboring town, Lester Prairie, 14-6. Some other scores: KMS and the Squeakers, 7-6 over USA Upsala Swanville area. Wheaton Herman Norcross got a nice team this year, defeating Verndale 40-14. Springfield over Tracy Milroy Belton, 40-28. Sauk Center over Osakis, 27-6. New London Spicer in a well-played game over Albany, 20-14. Here's a shootout. Hutchinson defeated Marshall 52-30, and Hancock defeated previously undefeated Renville County West 20-7. Well, that brings it up to our team. Of course, we talked about the loss to Bold in the first round of the playoffs last week, but now can wrap up that season for 2022. Tony Smith's in the studio this morning and can talk about how things went, Tony.
Yeah, excuse me. We were down. Nolan and I went to Dawson last Saturday and watched Dawson and Lakeview, and what an atmosphere that was. And then was watching the playoff games last night or yesterday online. Obviously, what a section, what a district as far as representation and just the competitiveness from top to bottom. As I was putting the stats together, final stats for the year, I was thinking about the season and I've been having meetings with the seniors, then with the juniors and the sophomores and the freshmen, all kind of as a group, and it's gone very well. Talked about the season, some things that they like, some things they didn't like, and then obviously looking towards the future and how to get a plan in place so everyone knows kind of what the expectation is and go from there. So that's kind of what the process has been. But as putting the stats together, you look back at it and you think, okay, if we could have put together a regular season like we did that first half against Bold, obviously some of our stats would have looked a little bit different and we had ourselves in some football games, but it was such a learning year for a lot of different kids and some expectations. And one of the things I talked to them about was, you know, as the season started, especially some of the sophomores, they said, did you expect that you were going to be playing or getting into varsity football games? And some of them shook their head no. And I said, and then all of a sudden you're starting and there you are. And now the lights are on. And so just kind of reflecting on some of that with the kids and a lot of agreement, a lot of understanding of what we need to do. So that was very encouraging with those meetings. Defensively, our season stats here, our leading tackler, I think is probably no real surprise, TJ Mitchell. He ended up with 80 tackles on the year, three tackles for loss and a sack. Damian Torres had 24 tackles. Peyton Rodmacher had 17 tackles. Caden Kessler, I thought, did a really nice job playing a safety position. He likes to come down and get his nose dirty and make some plays. He ended up with 51 tackles. Ethan Schomer had 43 tackles. Alex Lewis had 34 tackles. Brock Biernield had 10. Noah Meyer, 16. Aiden Lewis had 10. And obviously, Cade Mortensen, who got injured, he was very involved in that quarter and a half. He got to play this year. He ended up with 6 tackles. Drew Borstedt had 7 tackles. Caden Molden ended up with 21 tackles, 2 sacks. Dylan Keimig, 13 tackles, 4 pass breakups, an interception. Davis Patzer had 20 tackles. So, unfortunately, a lot of defensive back-type tackles. And, you know, we knew that we weren't going to be very big up front, so we decided we would go 3 down linemen and try to use some speed and some quickness out on the field to make some plays. Special teams-wise, Caden Molden averaged 34.8 yards per punt. And when he was out, Brock Biernhild averaged 33 yards a punt. Unfortunately, we had too many punts this year. But, you know, those are some nice averages. Kick returns, Ethan Schomer had 35 returns for 527 yards. TJ Mitchell had 11 returns for 170. Dylan Keimig, 3 for 38. Caden Kessler had 5 for 60. Peyton Rodmacher had 2 returns for 9 yards. Tanner Callis had 2 returns for 20 yards. Levi Hansen had a return for 12. And Landon Weber had 3 returns for 37 yards. And then offensively, throwing the ball, Caden Molden was 42 of 87 for 542 yards and 4 touchdowns. Davis Patzer was 30 of 88 for 292 and a touchdown. Nolan Smith was 2 for 5 for 11 yards. And TJ Mitchell was 0 for 1 in that playoff game. And then receiving, Landon Weber had 3 receptions for 34 yards. TJ Mitchell had 24 receptions for 373 yards and a touchdown. Ethan Schomer had 20 receptions for 200 yards and a touchdown. Alex Lewis had 5 for 85 and a touchdown. 73 of those came on that touchdown, that go-ahead touchdown McRae that night. Peyton Rodmacher had 8 receptions for 33 yards. Davis Patzer had 3 receptions for 27. Caden Molden, who was that quarterback, we moved into the tight end, had 5 receptions for 71 yards and a touchdown. Caden Kessler had a reception for 11 yards. Brant Schomer had a reception for 13. Dylan Keimig had 1 reception for 10. And Levi Hansen had a reception. Rushing the ball, Landon Weber had the most attempts. He had 46 attempts for 108 yards and 2 touchdowns. Alex Lewis had 28 attempts for only 24 yards. Gabe Lowry, who got in at the end of some games, had 20 rushes for 48 yards. Peyton Rodmacher had 8 for 25. TJ Mitchell had 35 for 85 yards and a touchdown. Brant Schomer carried the ball 5 times for 29 yards. Tyler Earp, 6 carries for 15. Caden Kessler had a carry for 5. Caden Molden had 18 rushes for 85 yards and a touchdown. Davis Patzer had 8 attempts for 25 yards. And Ethan Schomer had 4 attempts for 10 yards. And we know that, you watch those postseason games and it's mentioned multiple times, whether you're talking about professional, college, high school, the game is won up front. And we've talked about it weekly about how we were learning and we were young. And so, you know, we realize that. We know that we've got some improving to do. And that's kind of our MO as we put this season to bed and look towards next fall.
That's right. And then, of course, it's always hard to see your seniors leave the program. Probably would be the last time that they would don the football uniform of any type from the senior class anyway, but they gave you their best.
Yeah, I had a great conversation with them that Wednesday night after we had played. One of the things that I did was I just wanted to make sure that I looked every one of them in the face and complimented them on one thing. And actually, I did that with all the groups that we went through, all the classes. And you know, the one thing that I told the whole group was, you know, that's Levi Hansen, Damian Torres, Alex and Aiden Lewis, Ethan Schomer, you know, was that, and Jacob Bringle. I was happy. I was impressed with the way they were there every day, and the fact that they were willing, while it wasn't the season that they necessarily maybe wanted to finish out on, they were there and they were contributing and they were working. And I told them, you know, 10 years from now, who knows if you'll remember what your record was, but those skills of being able to just get the job done, go to work, when it's not always what you want to do or it's not always the outcome that you are looking for, you know, that's a nice trait for those guys to have, to be able to a nice skill for them to be able to do that on a daily basis, because we know it's not always, life isn't always fun, it's not always what we want it to be, but we're always going to work.
Yeah, that's for sure, and it's tough for them, and it's also tough for you and the rest of the coaching staff to see them go. But then you have to look ahead, and the 2013 season started a week ago Wednesday.
Yep, 2023 started a week ago Wednesday. And, you know, they're going to go off, and they're going to do other things. They're going to be in basketball. They're going to be in wrestling. They're going to be in baseball, track, whatever it might be, have a job. And just tried to talk to them or had a conversation with them about how can we balance, how can we help, how can we balance their lives as far as trying to be a kid and have a job and play other sports and still put some time and effort and some focus in on being prepared come next fall.
Okay, Tony, anything else?
No, obviously with the AD thing, I'll put on my AD hat here. we got the winter sports are quickly upon us. Dance has started already. We'll get that stuff up and running here shortly, and I know that there are some kids that are excited to get that going too. So it's going to be an interesting and fun winter.
All right. Okay.
I have a question for Tony, sure. Or not a question, but just more of a comment. Talk about the Southwest District. We got some time here on the coach's show this morning. Your thoughts on the whole season? Some tough teams. We saw Minnesota go into state yesterday, and you watched that game as well, Tony. And just a tough district and a real tough section, isn't it?
You know, I don't know. You know, YME this year, they had a 5-3 season. That's the first time that they've been 5-3 in quite a few years. Just with the seniors that they had in the leadership, and they get rewarded with a 5-3 season with the number 5 seed. And oh, by the way, you get to go to Minnesota, who's the number 4 seed. And just extremely difficult. A lot of seniors that were playing on the fields last Saturday, yesterday. And then you also take a look at some of these rosters too, and the underclassmen that are playing. So while this year was extremely tough as far as the section goes, I don't really see it dipping down a whole lot. And that's crazy to think. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and then you take a look at the other half. You know, we played TMB to start the year. They were in the section finals. And so Dawson goes undefeated in the district. And then, so they won a couple of close ones against Lakeview and against Mineota, and unfortunately they're not able to make it out. Lakeview, who's been working with this group for quite a few years, they're not able to make it out. Bold, they've got some underclassmen, they've got some upperclassmen, they weren't able to make it out. It was the top four or five teams. Anybody could have beat anybody at any place, I think, really.
Right, that's true. Talk about your coaching staff. You guys have been together a long time.
Yeah, helping with the varsity this year was Paul Lowry, Mike Weick, Josh Benson, and Mark Biernhild. We've been together for the 7 years that I've been the head coach, and it's nice because we're able to work with each other, understand, you know, as far as practices go, we maybe need to tweak something here or there. We do a lot of Google Meets, or I shouldn't say Google Meets, but Google Drive conversation throughout the week so we understand what we're doing. At the junior high level, we have Brian Moen. We have who I believe is in his 20th year of coaching.
I talked to three sports. I talked to Brian the other night about that. By the way,
yeah.
He's been around a long time. He loves it though. He absolutely loves it.
Yeah, to be at three sports at the junior high level, a lot of patience, right? A lot of patience with junior high boys.
Teaches them how to put the uniform on.
Yes. And then Brent Clemenson helped out with the junior high, as well as Matt Carmody, who works up at Big Stone Therapies. This is his second year, and played at Southwest State for 4 years.
Yep.
So it's a good group. I think by and large, we all have the kids' best interest, and we want to see them succeed. We want to teach them about football and about being a person.
That's right.
Very, very happy with the coaching staff we have.
Right. And also, you got a former football player playing his last game in college, right, Dick? You said?
Yep. Yeah, Peyton, he actually emailed me.
Mortensen,
texted me this week, and he said, hey, can I get that black game jersey for next week? I said, well, what do you need it for next week for? Well, the seniors, their final week, they wear high school football uniform for practice. So he was...
Peyton's at Concordia Moorhead.
Yes, Peyton's playing and having a very, very good season. Yeah. He's looking to be a chiropractor, I believe. And so as he finishes up at Concordia, he'll be... finding some chiropractic school to go to.
But, you know, he was the only positive thing about the COVID-19 is that he got one more season to play, and Concordia College, tuition-free that fifth year. So
well, that's,
he had a couple of business courses that kind of a light load first semester and just enjoyed football. I happened to attend the game where he went over 1,000 yards in his career, and with today against Hamlin, he on paper should have a pretty good game, and then they will play one more game next week, depending on they have two divisions or two sides of their conference, the 4-4 teams or whatever would match up. Again,
sure.
Chances are they'll get to play a team that they played earlier in the season.
Yeah, he was able to take advantage of that and get that sixth season, and he's had a really good college career, that's great that he was able to do that.
And I know, Paul, you interviewed him. That's on the podcast. If you never heard it, you can go to KLTP. FM.com and look on the podcast and listen to that interview. Bart Hill is in process of writing an article for the Western Guard about him. He went and called Terry Horan and had a lengthy conversation with him, a college coach preparing for the game, but took the time out to talk about what a great young man Peyton is.
So yeah, there was an article up in the Fargo Forum, I believe, talking about him growing up on the hog farm, and I talked to Peyton one night about that, or one day, and he just kind of chuckled and said, you know, they kind of took and ran with it. He said it was all right. He laughed.
Well, I know growing up, maybe as a sixth grader, his dad had him flipping over tractor tires for workouts. So, gosh.
All right.
Looking at the roster that from Mineota and Lakeview that Paul brought back to the studio, I mean, they're both... Lakeview is very, very senior dominant. You know, we talked about them as sophomores. But Mineota probably has more juniors and sophomores coming back than they graduate. I mean, they had some great seniors in that game. And continuing on for, we hope, 3-4 more games. But the juniors and seniors, they just reload every year.
Yep. It's, you know, and you talk about consistency. I was talking to Chad Johnston about their youth program. They've had the same youth football coaches for 12 or 13 years.
Oh, really?
So you talk about consistency within the coaching staff. There's something there. And, you know, it's that... I don't know what the rest of 1A is going to look like. I have heard that Fillmore Central is a very, very good football team. But, you know, experience. They have experience when it comes to being in these situations. And I find, or I have found that to be a kind of an unknown variable with getting to these state tournaments, whether you're in the section championship or the first round or the second round, being there, doing that before, like that's that can be a big momentum shift if you've been there.
Yep, and the excitement about it with the community and the school and the younger kids seeing that, like playing in the Fargo Dome or you know,
whatever.
U.S. Bank Stadium.
It's you know, you take a look at Hancock, for example. You know, they've had some turnover. I know Chad Christensen there. He's their AD and their football coach, but they've been there and they've done that for the last number of years.
Yep.
And so, you know, that stuff is I'm sold as far as experience in those types of situations, right, being a big help.
Just quickly, your Mineota will play in the state football tournament quarterfinals next Friday up in Alexandria at 7 o'clock, and they're going to play the Breckenridge Cowboys.
Oh, okay.
The Cowboys are 7-4 on the season, and last night in the Fargo Dome, they avenged an open season loss to Otter Tail Central. They beat them 34-6 in the Fargo Dome last night for the Section 6 championship. But they lost to Otter Tail Central in the very first game of the season, 28-27.
Okay. Wow.
So they're 7-4, so that's who Mineota will play next Friday night.
That's the Battle Lake area,
yep.
Otter Tail Central.
Yep.
So, yeah.
So the Breckenridge Cowboys and the Mineota Vikings, 7 o'clock at Alexandria High School. That's a great facility up there.
Beautiful field.
And we'll have that game for you here on Q92.
Good. Yeah, and then... some of these families just go on and on and on. The family name, I remember Morris a few years ago, I finally said, well, Morris is finally at wit's end. You know, they had the Witts brothers. And now, I don't know when it's going to...
Jerry Witt, the dad, too, coached for a long time, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He was.
Yeah. Then I don't know when it's going to happen, but Mineota's got a family name, too, that when they're finally... run out of that family, they'll have
the Hannons.
Yeah, well, that and have no fear.
Fears, yeah.
So every school has that. Cammy, I know, had it and still has it in wrestling. So yeah.
Yep.
So,
all right.
Well, that about wraps up the.
Well, we're going to talk to Brooklyn.
Yeah, I know. Okay. The football report. Tony, thanks for coming in every Saturday morning. And I know you requested and we granted you the first interview because you always had to get out for for the elementary football. And maybe make a comment about that, too. I mean, you know, we as adults have our people that we look up to in college and professional sports, but the elementary kids look up to that high school player that they watch every Friday night.
Yeah, and it's so interesting because Friday night after the game, win or lose, I try to get a head counter who's able to come and help. And I'll tell them, I said, these guys are going to be ready and raring to go in the morning. And so whatever energy that you can muster up from 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock, it's going to need to be done because they're going to be ready to play and they're going to be ready to run and they're going to be ready to challenge. And so that's the part that I like is they're out there and they're just playing. They're playing for the fun of it. They're playing with their buddies. And so it's nice to get those our players out onto that field to put them in a little different situation. Now they maybe have to make a call or they have to, you know, talk to a kid. You know, those are skills that they're going to have to use as their life goes on. And I'd like to think of it as they're just kind of paying it forward because at some point in time, hopefully they have a family and their kids are going to want to be playing youth football and we want them to have that same experience. So I enjoy that Saturday morning because you're right. They're there. They're looking up to that kid, talking to that player, and they didn't really care if we won or lost the night before. It's their time to be out on the field.
Yeah, and dads get out with your sons and daughters and play catch.
Yep, absolutely.
And teach them the rules of the game.
Yep.
Tony Smith on football. We'll take this break and be doing the same thing, wrapping up the volleyball season after this.
We always love time at the lake. Visit with the neighbors and fishing with the grandkids. I've been installing floors for over 30 years, crawling around the lot. My knee pain was getting worse. It was harder to do the things I wanted to do, so I went to CCM Health. Dr. Brandt made me feel real comfortable right away. Just seems down to earth, doesn't pressure you. I trust CCM Health to do my knee surgery when it's time. CCM Health has helped me live my life.
See a movie at the Grand Theater in Madison, showing Friday, November 4th through Monday, November 7th in Theater One. Sandra Bullock and George Clooney star in a romantic comedy. Ticket to Paradise, rated PG-13. That's Ticket to Paradise in Theater Number 1. In Theater Number 2, it's Dwayne The Rock Johnson in Black Adam. That's Black Adam, PG-13 in Theater Number 2. Showtimes once nightly at 7 o'clock, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at the Grand.
Rank Seed has been breeding better seeds for generations. Each year, Rank invests tens of millions of dollars to support DNA-level breeding and new trait development. This dedication to research has resulted in numerous insect-resistant, herbicide, and drought-tolerant traits in our lineup. Rank Seed utilizes the latest technologies, including robotics and color sorters, to ensure the highest germination and the best quality of seed, tirelessly striving to better serve our farmers. From research to results, Rank Seed is rooted in technology.
Paul Ramo here for Q92 Sports. Join me this afternoon from the RE facility in Marshall for the Section 3A Volleyball Championship. A trip to the state tournament is on the line. It's the Minneota Vikings, ranked number one in Class A, taking on the Russell Tyler Ruthen Knights. The Knights are ranked number two in Class A. Going to be a great volleyball match this afternoon, 5 o'clock, first serve, right here on Q92.
Madison Healthcare Services has many job opportunities. Right now, they're looking for a dietary aide, RN for home health, RN for the hospital with a $9,000 sign-on bonus, LPN-RN for the care center with a $9,000 sign-on bonus, medical lab technician with a $9,000 sign-on bonus. They're looking for a housekeeper, laundry aide, CNA for the care center with a $5,000 sign-on bonus. Certification assistance is available. Applications can be submitted online, picked up at the front desk of Madison Healthcare Services, or sent to Human Resources, Madison Healthcare Services, 900 2nd Avenue, Madison, Minnesota, 56256. If you have questions or need help filling out an application, contact them at 320-598-7551. Online at mhsmn.org.
At First Security Bank in Canby, they'd like to remind area farmers that experience counts. Like farming, ag lending isn't something you learn overnight, and it's not something you can learn from a book either. First Security Bank in Canby has many years of professional experience in agricultural lending and all types of guaranteed loan programs. For farm operating, livestock, or real estate financing, see the experienced staff at First Security Bank of Canby, wishing the Canby Lancers the best of luck. First Security Bank of Canby, member FDIC, an equal opportunity lender, and proud sponsor of the L.A. Amundsen Scholarship Program.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to wrap up the La Caparra Valley volleyball season with first-year head coach Brooklyn Gould. Good morning, Brooklyn.
Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Yeah, we're doing great. We'd like to see you in the studio, but we understand you're watching your daughter, and Dylan's out deer hunting this morning, huh?
Yeah, I kind of forgot about it. So if we hear a little 3-year-old footsteps coming in, she might have to say hi.
Okay, I'll say hi. All right. Well, I tell you what, your first year of coaching as a head coach at La Caparra Valley, and how'd that experience go for you?
It went really well. I told the girls throughout the year, and at the when we lost against Canby, you know, I honestly couldn't have asked for a better first group. The girls gave me everything every day, you know, and the passion for the game definitely spiked this year, so I'm hoping I can kind of carry that throughout the years to come too. So
all right, great. Well, what we usually do, Brooklyn, at the end of the season here, just to talk about each of your varsity girls, and maybe if you have some stats there in front of you, we can go through them. So I'll just turn it over to you.
Yeah, so I'll kind of just recap our record. So we ended the season 13-10. Wasn't terrible. It's pretty good. We got a positive record. There were a couple. We went to 2 tournaments, and we lost a game at each tournament. And we should have won those games. The first 2 games, or the first game at each tournament, are the ones that we had lost. One thing about these girls that I think everybody can say, including themselves, is we have a hard time starting, especially when our bus is leaving at like 7 in the morning. I'm not a morning person by any means either, so I totally understand. And then, you know, there were some good things that happened throughout the season too. Our 3rd game we played at TMB, we took a set from them, you know, and those are good things too. And then when we played Minneota, the games were fairly close. I mean, closer than what they have been in the past against them. When we played Canby both times, we ended up taking a set from them. The McRae game too, we lost in 3, but we had lost 1 game, 26-24. So the girls definitely showed that they can compete with these good teams. You know, it's just throughout those games when we would play them, we would be down 6-7 points, and then we come back. So trying to, as a coach, trying to figure out ways to where we can, you know, not dig ourselves that hole and stay strong throughout a whole game. And the girls are aware that they did that stuff too. You know, I think everybody kind of was, but the way that they had always come back and fight. And that's one thing that I'm constantly hearing is, you know, those girls don't ever give up, do they? And I said, well, I don't really give them much of a choice because I'm not giving up, so they can't either. Mm-hmm. So that's just kind of, you know, some recaps of our games this season. Hopefully within years to come, we can get hopefully a couple more games and a tournament where we're playing more than just 3 games too, so we can get some more experience playing other teams. So hopefully we can do that. And then I'll just kind of recap some stats here. So looking at this season's kills, we had Riley Londo with 26, and she's a setter, so that proves that she was, you know, she was taking advantage of dumping some balls, and she did a great job at that. And then Isabel Gerda, she had 8. She is a back row player. there is a rule where your libero can't hit back row if the contact is above the net. And I know that's one thing that Belle really wants to do. She's always trying to hit, you know, and so she got a couple of kills throughout the season. Then Lexi Wolschlager, she led our team with kills this season. She had 166. You know, with Lexi, she was kind of fighting for spots last year with as an outside, and played probably half the season, I would say, as an outside. And coming into this year for us, you know, I know Lexi's a great athlete. She definitely surprised me this year. She led our team in kills, and that was one thing other teams too, you know, would say against us, that outside Lexi. We just can't block her, and she's a little tall. She's not the biggest gal, but she can swing at the ball, and it's hard to block those balls if you're not blocking them perfectly. They're just going to go through the block. So she was a great asset to our team this year, and we have her again next year. Then Sheridan Evenson, she ended the season with 123 kills. You know, the first half of the season, she was playing outside a little bit, didn't really have a spot, and then Paige's knee started to bug her, so we had to try Sheridan in the middle. And when she first started, she started against that game against Camby, and you could definitely tell she was feeling a little uncomfortable and a little overwhelmed, but throughout the end of the half of the season, she definitely was doing some great things for us. She was getting there blocking, she was getting killed. Throughout the season, she had 17 kills against CGB, and that's the highest kills we had throughout the season for anybody in one game. So really wish I could have had one more year out of her and try to make her, you know, even better in the middle. But no, she definitely rolled with the punches for us this year, so she did a good job with that. Then Jalen Lee, our little sophomore, I mean, not so little, but younger-wise, she had 156 kills, and that was our second leading for the team for the season. Jalen, she's a great girl and a great athlete. She's super respectful, coachable. She also led us with blocks this year too, and I'm very, very glad that I get her the next few years and helping her develop into even a better volleyball player, because, you know, if she wants to work on things on the off season, we could make her into something great, and she's willing to do it. She has that go-getting personality, so super excited. And then we had another outside, Jenna Coyle. She had 12 kills. The first two games she had played for us, because we had a couple girls that couldn't play, and she's a junior this year, so she'll be a senior next year. I told the girls I'm not guaranteeing anybody's spots, because this year half of my team was not even supposed to be my varsity team. So it just proves how much work off season can do for you too. Then Brandy Meyer, she was our third led with 127. You know, and she was a girl that I really didn't, she wasn't on the top of my mind to be on varsity this year. And she's developed so much over the season too. And, you know, the beginning of the season, she was doing good. And then she had missed a tournament, and then she came back, and then towards the end of the season, she definitely was like peaking. Watching her hit, it's kind of scary. She's got quite a vertical, and she's only a sophomore as well. So same thing with her and Jalen. They're super respectful, and they got that goal-getting personality, and they want to play volleyball. They want to get better. So those two, I'm very excited for their future and coaching them in years to come. Then Yana Gibson, she had 22 kills as well, and she's a setter too. So that was one thing I kind of pushed at our setters, is you guys can dump balls too. And, you know, combined they had about 50 kills, and that, I mean, I don't have much to complain about. They were scoring as well, so that was awesome. Paige Meyer, she had 98 kills this season. She started probably about the first half or a little over as a middle, and then she was kind of having some knee issues, and then we had put Sheridan in there and Paige too, and that was a hard decision for me as a coach, and I know that was hard on her too. But you know, as the times went on, knee issues, and what we really needed out of our middles this year was to block. That was like a huge thing. We know all of our hitters are capable of scoring points skill-wise, but one of our biggest things that we needed was blocking, and with Paige's knee, I think it was kind of slowing her down a little bit. So, but she still racked up 98 kills half of the season, so that's pretty good too. Then we'll go to digs here. Dig-wise, I think everybody can say that our team's pretty scrappy. We have some great back row players. Riley Lund ended the season with 235 digs, and she's a setter. And, you know, if you have a setter that can play some defense, that's a huge asset to a team. So her and Yana, and then Yana had 237 digs. They were pretty much side-by-side all season, and I am very grateful that I had setters that also wanted to play defense, because I have played and I have seen teams where setters are just worried about setting, but you can't set without defense first. So those two did a great job in the back row for us. Isabel Gerdes, our libero, she ended the season with 390 digs, which is huge. She had three games where she was above 30 digs. She had 34 digs, 31, and 35. The rest were, upper teens, 20s. She's a huge asset in the back row. She's a leader on and off the court. She's the one that's talking to the girls. We put her on the left back as a libero this year. She loves tips. She loves going for things. And if I have her in the middle back, she has a tendency to creep up. So we definitely put her in the best spot that we could for her success this season. Super glad I get her next year. I'm kind of hoping she reaches that 1,000 digs next year. That would be awesome. Then Lexi Walsh-Lager, she had 43 digs. Sheridan, 37. Jalen, 18. Just trying to recap the front row. Brandy had 57. So those girls are our front row players. So not racking up digs by any means, but it shows that they're still being scrappy in the front row and picking up some balls for us too. Then Claire Bohr said she ended the season with 202 digs. And Claire, she, you know, towards the end of the season, she found her voice. And that's one thing we've been pushing our back row to do. Back row needs to talk, whether it's calling mine or calling someone off or telling your front row where to go. And that's one thing Claire found towards the end of the season. She found her voice. She started talking more. She started calling balls louder, telling girls where to go. And she's also a junior, so I get her back too, which is awesome because she does a good job in the back row too. Then we had Caitlin Kittleson. She ended the season with 166 digs. And most people know this, but Caitlin's a setter. we had Riley and Yana setting, and, you know, I kind of wasn't really 100% sure what I wanted to do with Caitlin having her set a couple sets or one set on JV because our setters graduate this year. And then I was watching her play back row, and I'm like, oh my gosh, do I really want to take a year setting away from her and just have her play back row for me? And that's the decision I ended up making for this team, because she did a good job in the back row. She wants to set next year, so hopefully we can get her in the gym this winter and her and a couple camps to, because taking a whole year off setting is kind of huge, especially when you're coming back as a senior. But she was a great asset in the back row as well. But yeah, that's kind of our digs in a wrap. And then we'll go on to aces. So serving wise, I really pushed serving this year, looking at some stats from prior years to this year, and now that we have huddle, we could really break down percentages and stuff. These girls definitely improved on serving this year. You know, towards the end of the year, I was like, my expectations are we're not missing a serve because we practice serving every day. And I don't care if it's a rocket, just get it over, you know, because handing over points for missed serves, not a fan of it. Riley Lund had 16 aces this year, and she started the season with a jump serve, and then she kind of just got a little uncomfortable with it, and I think she missed a couple serves, and then we kind of took a step back and then went back. to the technical stuff, and then we got her going on a good float serve by the end of the season. And she was a valuable player on the service line for us. She did a good job. Then Isabel Gertis, she had 19 aces. Going from last year to this year, Bell's serves definitely have changed. Last year she didn't have the confidence to serve. We weren't giving her numbers last year to serve, and this year I think her serving percentage, it was around 93% to 95%. So that's pretty good. She was getting the majority of her serves over. She has a wicked short serve, and teams hated it. So she did a very good job on the service line for us. Then Claire Borstead, she led our team in aces with 39. She has a jump serve, a float jump serve, and it is wicked. She kept asking me throughout the season, how do you get it to drop at the end line? Because when I serve against them, I've also been serving for a lot longer years than these girls have, and I just told her, you just need to keep practicing, and you keep practicing, you need to make sure you're really swinging your arm and hitting the ball in the right spot. And by the end of the season, she got it figured out. And I, when you look at the Camden recap newspaper, she wasn't on there, but she should have, because she had more aces than the top half. So she definitely was a strong server in our conference too. So then we had Yana. She had 19 aces. She also has a wicked serve. It's not like a float serve. I wasn't going to try to fix it, because whatever she was doing, it was working. So it's very hard to serve receive against her. So she did a good job as well. Then we'll move on to set assists. Riley Lund and Yana Gibson, will brag about them some more. Riley had 325 assists this year, and Yana had 322. So there again, they're side by side. You know, those two, and you talk to everybody, our setters, they have a way of connecting not only with the hitters, but them each other. We had our setters setting out of the front row this year, so our front row hitters could move around a little bit easier. But if there was a ball that one of the back row girl had better at, they were just taking it. It was natural to them. It was chemistry between those two. And then when you add in the chemistry with their hitters, they have a way of connecting with them. And, you know, setting-wise, I think that was probably the one thing that stayed the most consistent for us throughout the season. You know, our back row does a good job, and then they might not sometimes. Our hitters did a good job, and then they didn't sometimes. But one thing I can honestly say is our setters probably were the most consistent for us throughout the season.
All right. Don't mean to rush you, Brooklyn, but we just got a couple minutes left, so.
Okay, yep, sounds good.
All right.
Yep, and then our last one here is blocks. So Jalen Lee, she led us with 29 blocks this year. And as a sophomore, that's great to have. So looking forward to the years to come for that. And then Lexi Walschlager had 8, Sheridan had 10, and Brandy had 6. So blocking wasn't our strongest suit. I don't think it's really been something that has been, like, enforced years to come. So in the future, we'll definitely be working on some blocking and some footwork for that too. So, but that's wrapped up in the season.
All right, and you had some coaches that helped you along the way, Brooklyn.
Yes, I did. I had a couple shout-outs here. So Heidi Gertis, she'll tell you she's the mom of the group. She's been here forever and ever. But she was awesome. You know, she was always supporting me and, you know, pushing me, giving me ideas. And having someone that's been on staff for a while, it's great to have as a head coach, because I'm not going to know everything or how things flow. So she was a helper for me, and I definitely look up to her as a role model as well. And then Tyler Peters, she was the C squad coach. Glad to have her on staff and hoping she stays. Then I also wanted to thank the announcers, inline judges, and the custodian staff. They helped us so much fixing and setting up things. And then I also wanted to give a shout out to Johnny. He's been like Tony's assistant. He's helped so much at games as well. And then just of course the fans and the community members with donations, encouragement, on social media, at the games. Really, it's it takes a community to have something successful, and I think we definitely got that this year.
All right. Real good, Brooklyn. Well, great job there wrapping up the volleyball season, and looking forward to next year already.
Yeah, me too. Thank you so much, Paul.
Yep, and thank you for being on the Coach's Show every Saturday. Appreciate it.
Yeah, of course.
All right, that's Brooklyn Gould, head coach of the Lac La Parle Valley Eagles. We'll take a break, and Dick will be back as a wrap up the Coach's Show after this.
Representative Chris Wazinski brings common sense and rural values to St. Paul. Chris worked to stop Minnesota's unfair taxes on Social Security and military retirement benefits. He also worked to shrink the property tax burden that Main Street businesses pay to the state. In order to ease the process of passing down farms and businesses to the next generation, Chris worked to cut property taxes for farmers and to eliminate their estate tax. Vote for Representative Chris Wazinski this November. This ad was paid for by Swazinski for House.
Myers Electric and Infrared is your one-stop shop for all of your electrical needs. Whether it be replacing a broken light switch or wiring your new home or business, Myers Electric and Infrared are the ones to call for expert advice and professional service. We service the entire KLQP listening area and would love the opportunity to work with you on your next electrical project. Check us out on the web at MyersEandI.com, like us on Facebook, and call 320-226-7447 for your free estimate.
Back here at the radio station, just a reminder, keep that dial tuned to Q92 as state cross country comes on somewhere around 11:30 this morning, and then Paul Ramo will be in Marshall for that section volleyball championship between Mineota and Russell Tyler Ruthen later on today. What time is that, Paul? It's 5 o'clock. So lots of activities here yet today in sports from the section and state. Also a reminder of the remaining two head coaches, tennis coach Dr. Brant Hacker will be on next week. Their tennis banquet will be this Wednesday at 6:30 in the high school commons. And he'll wrap up his season and give out the special awards and things like that. We'll hear all about that next Saturday morning. And then also John Sherba will wrap up the cross-country season and try to get a hold of some JV or junior high coaches and have them on either next week or the week after as well. So finish out the show with a couple, actually three Dick Newman sick jokes of the week. My wife said I should do lunges to stay in shape. That would be a big step forward. This graveyard, number two, this graveyard looks overcrowded. People must be dying to get in. And what does a bee use to brush its hair? Well, of course, a honeycomb. Well, thanks for listening. Tune in again next Saturday morning. And just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.